Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's Onc Club episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Brandon Moriarty, PhD, and Bo Weber, PhD, about a study evaluating neoantigen-reactive CISH knockout tumor-infiltrating lymphocyte therapy in patients with metastatic gastrointestinal cancers. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Moriarty and Weber discussed how targeting the CISH gene using CRISPR enhances T-cell function, key safety and efficacy findings from this study in 12 patients, and future research efforts that may focus on reducing manufacturing time and cost, as well as enhancing T-cell resilience.
Thank you, Dr. Weber and Dr. Moriarty, for joining me today to talk about some of the research you and your team recently published on CRISPR and Cas9 edited T-cells in the treatment of metastatic colorectal cancer. So I wanted to start by asking you if you could provide a little background about the immune checkpoint, CISH, and just the rationale for using it as a potential therapeutic target within the treatment of CRC or even potentially other cancers.
CISH is a member of, essentially the founding member of the SOX family of immune checkpoints, originally discovered for their role in suppressing cytokine signaling. And CISH as well was initially discovered for its role in suppressing cytokine signaling through, for instance, like IL-2 and IL-15 receptors. Nick Restifo's group at the NIH a few years back discovered a secondary role for CISH in suppressing signaling through the T-cell receptor. And so this opened up really a new opportunity to potentially increase the functional avidity or ability of a T-cell to recognize and activate antigen by disrupting CISH. There are no small molecules for CISH available for inhibiting it. And because it's not on the outside of a cell, it can't be blocked with an antibody like PD-1 or CTLA-4. And so that's why we pursued a genetic engineering approach to target the CISH gene, with the goal being that particularly with TIL or tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes that act through their T-cell receptor, knocking out CISH would increase their ability to recognize tumor-associated antigens through the TCR and enable them to mount a better, a stronger immune response.
We started this work in a collaboration with Dr. Steven Rosenberg at the NIH, who's one of the pioneers in the development of TIL therapies. And so we worked collaboratively with him, and that's kind of what led us to targeting CISH, because he had been working with Nick Restifo and they're very excited about CISH and its potential biology in TIL. And so that's where we came in with the CRISPR editing.
Could you just explain this process a little bit and how it, you know, helps lead to this final product that's being evaluated in this study?
So essentially the way that this works is CRISPR is designed to create double strand breaks in DNA. In a targeted fashion. And so essentially what we started out by doing was identifying a guide RNA and reagents to direct CRISPR-Cas9 to the CISH gene. And at that point, it makes a double strand break in the DNA. The DNA repairs itself in an error-prone fashion eventually, and this leads to disruption of the gene and the loss of expression of the protein. And so once we had a guide RNA or CRISPR reagents that cut very efficiently, we carried out safety profiling to make sure that it was only cutting at CISH, or at least at minimum cutting at CISH and only a very limited number of potential off targets, which we would have characterized. In this case, there weren't any off targets. That was, you know, obviously great from a safety perspective. And from that point, really, it was working up the process for being able to do this efficiently at scale, which we work closely with the MCT GMP facility at the University of Minnesota to work up a protocol, essentially, to be able to take a process that had been developed for expanding TIL and adapt it to be able to incorporate the CRISPR editing. And I think that was, from an engineering standpoint, that definitely took some optimization and some creative thinking, and we were able to develop a process that worked really efficiently, not only in the early scale up, but also throughout the trial. I think our success and the ability to manufacture with these TIL from very sick patients, you know, is really impressive.
This was the second FDA-approved clinical trial in the USA using CRISPR-edited cells. And so it was a very interesting process where we were both learning what the FDA's expectation was, but the FDA was still learning what the FDA's expectation was. And so really, we worked closely with them to design the safety studies that eventually did determine that we had no off-target editing, so it's a very specific reagent. There was an interesting process working with the FDA, since they hadn't really dealt with any or very many of these types of CRISPR-engineered cell therapies.
Well, could you just provide some quick background on the study itself and just some of the patients you were aiming to enroll over the course of enrollment?
The thing about TIL therapy is it's frequently done in kind of very poor state cancer individuals. And so all of the patients that were enrolled in our study were stage 4 highly metastatic GI cancers. And GI cancer is a very broad term in this context. So that includes anything from colorectal cancer, pancreatic cancer, cholangiocarcinoma. So most of these patients had already gone through 6 to 10 previous therapies for their cancer, and almost exclusively they had metastatic disease. In fact, some of the patients were so poor off that they expired from their disease before we could manufacture their product. And so these are kind of very challenging patients to treat. But we know historically TIL therapy can cure highly metastatic cancers. And so that's why we decided to apply it in this a very high need population of cancer patients.
What were the key findings in terms of tolerability, toxicity, and anything related to safety?
Safety is definitely the key aspect. And so realistically, historically, TIL have been quite safe as compared to, you know, a lot of what you, times you hear about cytokine release syndrome or ICANS with CAR T-cell based therapy. But uniquely, TIL therapy has been extremely well tolerated. And even at very high doses, much higher than is what is given for your standard like CD19 CAR T cell therapy. So I think we knew that, you know, there was an advantage there by working with the TIL, even though we were knocking out a completely novel checkpoint gene. You know, I think the worries were that by disrupting permanently, kind of hardwiring in this checkpoint knockout of an intracellular checkpoint that regulates TCR avidity, the worry was that this could sort of unleash maybe nonspecific autoimmunity. I think, you know, that would be one of the big worries. And the second worry is that just the reactivity against the tumor would be much stronger, and we would see things like, you know, strong CRS and ICANS. But none of that really played out. From in terms of the actual cellular therapy, it was extremely well tolerated. The only real toxicities or side effects that were associated with the treatment as a whole were ones that we would observe, and that is side effects of the preconditioning regimen and the deliver of high dose interleukin 2 after cell infusion, which can cause essentially some febrile symptoms and sort of things like that. But that was all very much par for the course. So outside of that, we didn't have any strong CRS or any sort of like ICANS sort of associated toxicities.
Turning to the preliminary anti-tumor efficacy, just what was seen in terms of that type of activity?
Yeah, so we in total treated 12 patients that we described in the article, and actually 50% of the patients achieved stable disease for up to 1 month post-therapy. So you can imagine all these patients have rapidly progressive disease, and half of them, after treatment, their tumor stopped growing for a month, and about a third of them, their tumor stopped growing for 2 months. And then in one patient, we had a pretty incredible complete response where all of her metastases and primary tumor were eradicated, and now she's out over 2.5 years after treatment and still cancer free. So those are the main outcomes. And since the trial, you know, the other 11 patients have all expired from the cancer, but the one complete response patient
remains cancer-free.
Combining, you know, this encouraging preliminary efficacy and the safety profile thus far, what are the next steps for evaluating this therapy and continuing to enroll more patients in this study or another one?
This therapy is very expensive, and actually, this initial trial was sponsored by a biotechnology company, and they are not going to be enrolling any other patients in this trial. And so we're actually starting a Minnesota TIL initiative to raise funds for TIL research and a TIL clinical trial that'll essentially be the next generation of the therapy that we developed here. And so the next TIL therapy that we run will be an academic basket TIL trial where we'll treat a number of different indications with the same TIL product.
Based on this early phase data thus far, what do they tell you in general about the feasibility of this type of TIL approach within colorectal cancer, or even, you know, just in cancer care in general?
Yeah, you know, I will say that the cellular product and manufacturing that we ran for this trial, I would say, is probably one of the, if not the most, like, complex that's been done for a cell therapy to date, because of not only the inherent logistical considerations that go into, like, actual TIL therapy, but then also adding on the neoantigen selection part of it, which takes it up to another level, and then adding on the genetic engineering on top of that. And so the whole process itself was very challenging. And that's why I say, from a manufacturing standpoint, I think we did phenomenally well. In some respects, you could imagine where trying to layer on this, you know, the electroporation and CRISPR engineering could have, you know, essentially diminished the functionality of these TIL completely and negatively affected. So the fact that we not only did not do that, but had these great outcomes, I think is a real testament to the feasibility of doing this. I think the big things are, we realize that it is still a very complex process and it takes a long time. So over 100 days to manufacture a cell therapy product using this strategy. And so, you know, from our standpoint, we realize that there's immense promise here, but we need to make the process faster and more efficient. And so that's another aspect. In addition to that's part of the homegrown TIL project that we're doing, the additional research is on how can we basically speed up this process. I mean, we'd like to cut it down to basically one third the time, or around like a month or so. And I think that would be, you know, significant advantage to these patients who are very advanced. So I think that's one area that we're really pushing very hard on, and we've already made a ton of progress there. And that's kind of like the modified protocol that we would hope, manufacturing process that we would hope to bring into our basket TIL trial.
In addition to decreasing manufacturing timelines and also cost, we're going to incorporate additional genome editing modifications that enhance the in vivo expansion, persistence, and resilience of the TIL therapy, because in these solid tumor microenvironments, they're very suppressive to T cell function. And so we're going to put in additional genome edits to make them less susceptible to suppression from the tumor microenvironment and be better at persisting longer term in the patient. So basically, we need to make a therapy that's, you know, faster to make, cheaper to make, and is better therapeutically.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.